Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
The last 2 years here in the Florida House, we've had those tough discussions, and we've brought forth budgets that are billions of dollars less than they were the previous years. And it takes work to sit down and make those things happen. And I'm expecting that this is going to stimulate a culture of thrift across our great free state. And we're going to end up having these conversations at all levels of government.
So, Representative, if municipal ad valorem revenues decline due to the exemption expansion, right? But public safety spending is constitutionally locked. Which services are municipalities expected to cut to balance their budgets?
As I said before, I don't expect that they'll have to cut services. I think we're going to all have to sit down and have some hard discussions. We're going to be looking for efficiencies in our local governments. If you're a city with five cops, I think it's time to start asking your sheriff, is this something that where we can work collaboratively to figure out how we can gain efficiencies and save money that way?
Does that qualify as defunding the police? Monique Miller, the state representative, pushing HJR 203, that's the property tax referendum that you've heard so much about, to eliminate the homestead property taxes everywhere, cities and counties, unless it's for the schools. The schools, the sacred cow of the school funding, that stays, but you still rent your home from the government, from the schools. You just won't have to rent your home from the government with the stake of property taxes or MSTUs, or I'll be honest, as I have read the bill, maybe even the MSBUs go away. It says the only taxes that you can have are these very specific ones for the school. It's like, this is even more sweeping than I thought, if I'm reading it right. But the key is not only eliminating the property taxes over 10 years, but now actually eliminating them in 1 year as of January 1st. Now, if you're like me, there's one part of you that's like, woohoo, I hate property taxes. Cut my tax bill in half. Love it. Okay, I'm with you. Also, property taxes are philosophically unjustifiable. You know, Josh Newby and I had a good disagreement about that recently, but I still think that you shouldn't have it to rent your property from the government. You know, if they don't like you, if you're not paying them protection money, they'll take it away from you. That's not how rights work. But the point is, if you don't, they do. And so you got to pay the money. Find a different way to generate that revenue. And that's the problem. This is a profoundly unserious proposal. In fact, I have a weird, theory about this, HJR. The proposition that's being promoted. My theory is it's designed to fail. It's designed to be so obnoxiously impossible. And I'm not saying that DeSantis is right, because that's what he was alleging early on, is that the House is just going to make something that, you know, couldn't be passed. I think this is setting up the Senate to have to be the guy, the ones to say no, which is going to make them look bad because they're the ones who got in the way. But this is everybody's fault. DeSantis hasn't put out a plan. The Senate hasn't put out a plan. The House has put out a plan that was arguably, maybe you could make it work over 10 years with no alternative funding. And now they're just saying, do it, you know, in January. It can't be done. You're going to bankrupt cities. You're probably going to bankrupt counties, or you're going to at least make it impossible for them to do the services that they provide. And in the entire debate, the Democrats were right all through the debate, and the Republicans ignore them. And I mean, just basic logic. You're going to cut their funding by, it depends on the city or the county, but 20, 30, 50, 60%. And they're not going to have to cut services. And you're going to mandate that they keep doing first responders at the same rate. It doesn't math up. As Ann Eskamani said, it does not add up, not at all. Plus, why is it that we would, because the allegation is that these cities and counties are doing such a terrible job of managing their budgets. They've let costs balloon in the last few years. Of course, the state has also had a almost 40% increase in its budget. But okay, they've let costs balloon. It's out of control. We got to rein them in and get them back to the basic business of doing government. Why is it that the same government who cannot be trusted to run all their operations, we can trust them to get everything right on law enforcement? That's weird.
I find it so ironic that we trust local governments on their police budgets, but that same county commission, that same city council, we don't trust them on the infrastructure budget. And we also paint infrastructure as non-essential. I would argue the complete opposite, that the expectation of a constituent is that I have good roads to drive on, sidewalks to walk on.
Right. Why is it that you can trust them to do costs and procurement and everything else right when it comes to cops and fire, but you can't trust them to do it when it comes to roads and bridges and retention ponds and, you know, park management and all of that? It's a weird concept.
And many are local governments. There's also investments in children's services, homelessness prevention. You know, we passed a camping ban here, putting that pressure on local governments to respond, and now we're taking away resources for them to respond. It doesn't make sense. The math doesn't math. It doesn't math up.
I don't love that expression, but there you go. That's the. I think she's right. You cannot tell them on the one hand that you cannot cut, that you are cutting all this money, and you cannot cut anything to law enforcement. Not that I want that either, of course, but also then, you know, you're not going to cut services. It's fantasy stuff. I mean, this is the kind of stuff a kindergartner wouldn't be dumb enough to propose.
I just want to also point out, we spent the whole first half of this session, this debate, talking about why it was better to have a phase in so that cities can adjust their budgets and get ready for this so they know what's really happening. And then, just as I predicted, the amendment came that cuts everybody's legs off, which it has. So you can't have it both ways. You can't argue that we need to phase this in so cities have a better position and can get a handle on it, but then now move and say, well, no, really, this is the better way.
And that is a part of, it almost makes me think it's being done on purpose, because the 10-year phase-in was sort of maybe vaguely feasible, and the 1 year get rid of it all is, I mean, that's absolutely impossible. There's no way it can be done. I mean, I don't know where they would cut, but it seems like all of your basic services other than law and fire would get cut, which is, you know, park maintenance and filling potholes and building roads and all that's managing stormwater, all the things that your local governments, your counties and your cities do.
This state has increased its budget over the last 8 years, 42%. Why? Because we needed to recruit Florida Highway Patrol, because we had pensions, because we had infrastructure, because we had things we needed to take care of. Counties and municipalities are in that same boat.
And from my perspective, I think they're all squeezed about as tight as they can squeeze them. Guess what? There you go. 30% off the top. All of a sudden. Figure it out. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Florida West Economic Development Alliance. They work to create high-wage jobs and private capital and investment that grow Escambia County's tax base. Still dealing with the earlier accident that happened on I-10 westbound as you approach Highway 29. I'd say about a 12-minute delay as traffic starting to move very slowly in that area, but at least it's moving. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the conversation in the Florida House last Thursday where they were passing this HJR 203 that's going to eliminate all property taxes on your homestead other than for the schools starting in January of next year if it passes. The Senate has to agree, and then it goes straight to the ballot, and then 60% of you have to vote for it. But, you know, the pro side, the other side, which I am very sympathetic to because I hate property taxes so much. And don't get me wrong, I'd love a few more, you know, $1,000 in my pocket every year, too. We all would, of course. But there's also a cost of providing the services that we are accustomed to with government. Now, if government just doesn't do much, you know, okay, you know, I guess we could also live in that world, but it's not going to be a particularly pretty one.
We're having this debate today because local governments, not every one of them, but most of them have not done their job. This bill and property tax relief are not going to force cuts to police and fire safety. It's not going to cause cuts in teacher salaries. Yes, you are going to have to stop the waste, maybe doge yourself, but you will survive. You've got plenty of revenue.
That's Representative Ryan Chamberlain. It's not all just waste, sir.
One other thing I do want to bring up is this interesting. I've been sitting here listening very quietly, but nobody has said what's it going to do to our citizens. Only thing I'm hearing is the government, it's the government, it's the government. What did Ronald Reagan say? The worst words in the world, I'm the government and I'm here to help you. I've yet to hear, this person's going to get $3,000. What do you think he's going to do with that money? He's going to spend it, right, on small businesses. Small businesses aren't going to get hurt. They're going to have an income flush. People's going to have expendable income in their wallets. Nobody's talking about that. Only thing we're talking about, government's got to grow. Government's got to solve everything. That's not the answer. I can tell you, for me, I want the money in my pocket. I don't want the government spending it for me.
And so here's the thing. If that's all true, and by the way, they were, you know, the Republicans, after they refused to answer with any sincerity the actual particular questions, the kind of the rah-rah group, which I cannot believe I'm on the radio defending property taxes. Oh, my, you have no idea. Like, this is a dream for me to eliminate property taxes. My whole life I have hated them. They make no sense. And here they're doing it in such a stupid way that I have to go on the radio and say, don't vote for eliminating property taxes. It's crazy. But there's no answer, no real answer to the basic question of how you're going to fund the services that we all also choose. Because, by the way, you know, we could get rid of property taxes on our own if we wanted to. Like, if you really believed in this, you know, find a candidate, run him for the county commission, run him for the city council, run him for mayor, promising to eliminate property taxes. It can be done. There's no law requiring you to have them except for the schools. Okay? So you have the school, fine, whatever. But you don't have to have them for, you know, the school board. Yeah, I guess you could run them, too. But I don't know how they get funded. They get funded from the state, too. But, you know, you could have candidates run for school board and county commission that want to eliminate property taxes. If we really believed in it, it'd be easy enough to do at the local level. We don't need a state referendum to do this.
Members, when did local governments become our enemy?
Fentrice Driscoll.
Because I guess it's once we come up here and serve. Now, I did a bit of an audit. Granted, I didn't get to complete it, but I know that many of us served in local government previously, and I took a look, and I couldn't find any examples of any of us who served in local government and introduced resolutions at that time to eliminate property taxes. So what's changed now that we're here? The reality is that communities can already do this if they want to. They can elect officials to reduce or eliminate property taxes if that is what they want. The reality is no one has done that because our local communities do not want that.
It might sound like they do, but do they really? I mean, because, again, if that's really what we want as a group, if the Escambia and Santa Rosa County want to eliminate property taxes, we have elections. Right? If Pensacola and Gulf Breeze and Milton want to eliminate property taxes, we have elections. We can elect candidates who will eliminate property taxes. And they can run on a platform that says, I'm going to cut $250, you know, million dollars from the budget in the county, let's say, and because you're all going to get your homestead. And we're going to charge more property taxes on renters. And we're going to charge more property taxes on, you know, businesses. And we're going to put a 10 or 12% sales tax in place. And we're going to double all of our fees. And that's how we're going to make up the government. Or they could say, you know, we're not going to raise anything. And we're going to cut all the funding for the parks. We're going to cut all the funding for the storm drains and water management. We're going to cut all the money. And we're going to cut the money for repairing roads, which is already only a third of what it should be. We're going to cut that by 80%. Because this is what you want. You want to keep a few more thousand dollars in your, or a hundred, depending on the size of your home, in your pocket every year. I mean, they could do that. We could run those candidates. Why haven't we? Because generally speaking, though you might like to gripe about a particular issue, people are satisfied with the way it is. If they weren't, we'd have different outcomes in elections. The status quo is the way that it is because, generally speaking, it's good enough that the citizens don't change it. That's democracy. And here you're coming in with a blowtorch to try to solve a problem that people like to talk about, but so far nobody's been offering a meaningful adult alternative to solve the issue of all the services that will get cut if you eliminate ad valorem property taxes on homesteads. Which, again, I love the idea. I love to say stuff like this.
All we're really talking about is less government, more freedom, and lower taxes. Less government, more freedom, lower taxes.
Yeah, and, you know, dilapidated parks and potholy roads and bridges falling apart and code enforcement not being done. And, yeah, you know, it depends on the government, depends on which service is going to get cut.
We are here today because the citizens of Florida, our constituents, our customers, they beseeched us to take this issue up. They begged us by super majorities. I hear the debate from the other side about how the voters need to be listened to. I agree. That's what we're doing today.
And honestly, that's probably the best argument for it, which is let the voters decide. If we as a state want to do it, let us do it. If we want to 60% get rid of ad valorem property taxes on homestead, well, let us do it. That's what government by and of and for the people means. Consent to the governed, right? Give us a chance to do a referendum on this mechanism. Now, it's simple enough for Tallahassee to do it. It doesn't cost them any money. Would the locals do it? I mean, again, run your local officials on this platform. Say what you want to cut. Say what cuts you're offering. Of course, the problem in Tallahassee is they're just saying they're going to cut it off. They're not saying what things are going to actually get reduced. But anyway, Anna Eskamani, as often, has some of the best comments in the conversation.
The question was asked earlier to the bill sponsor around who truly benefits. I think Rep. Dunkley actually asked this question. And the reality is that those who make the most money will get the biggest tax break.
Yeah, huge homeowners.
Those who make less will see less. And those who don't pay a homestead are going to carry the burden of these government services.
Yeah, renters and commercial businesses, property owners that rent out, all that kind of stuff.
This is not about the free state of Florida. This is about the fee state of Florida, because we're creating a structure where everyone will have to pay fees for basic governmental services.
The fee state of Florida. That's pretty good. 825 on News Radio 92.3, 80-30. They voted it yes, still waiting on the Senate to do anything with it. We'll see. I'm not holding my breath for the Senate to go along, but that's the threat as it stands today, or the promise as it stands today. We'll find out by the end of session whether this is something we're actually going to vote on in November. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got a new accident that just popped up on Mobile Highway and North Green Street. It's a vehicle accident with injuries is causing delay on Mobile Highway, so be aware of that. And I-10 westbound and eastbound are back to flowing smoothly again. I'm not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You know, at Frontier Motors, one of the things that we loved about the experience there is, I mean, we found a car we couldn't find anywhere else. We were looking to test drive a 20, like, you know, I think it's a 9 or 10, I just can't remember the year, but it was the last year of the model that they were building for the Honda Odyssey. And the problem with the pre-owned certifieds from Honda is, you know, they won't let you drive them until they're cleaned up. But once they've been cleaned up, they've already been bought because so many people want them that they buy them before they're even ready to be driven. So it was like this paradox. We couldn't find one just to test drive, which is all we wanted. Well, the one that we wound up buying was, you know, brought back off of a lease in Orlando, went to auction because the dealership couldn't sell it in 90 days, and that's their policy, and Frontier went and picked it up. Exactly the right color, right trim level, low miles, good price, which we actually worked down on them with the Frontier, and they brought it to Pensacola, and we just bought a car. It was such an easy experience, such a good, positive experience. I literally came back and said to my sales manager, Jeff, I know we do ads like Dave Ramsey does ads for them. Can I do live reads for them? Because I love them and what they do. And he's like, yeah, we can make that happen. And ever since, I've been doing ads for them because I love what Frontier does. I love buying cars from them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Thursday, Pensacola Sports will be our guest on Pep Talk. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in Thursday at 10:30 as Pensacola Sports will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel discussing the upcoming Sun Belt Basketball Championship Tournament and many of the other events on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
So, what did I miss today?
Good question.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Chris Bryan.
Austin Price.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well, there you have it.
But I don't want any of that. I'd rather...
Rather what?
I'd rather just sing.
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
Never mind all the things you heard about me. You're never gonna understand me.
Oh, I need... need to make an apology. When I was talking to Sheriff Simmons about his history starting as a corrections officer and then trying to go work for the sheriff's office and couldn't because he had a broken leg and then going working eventually for PPD and so forth, apparently I said something. I don't remember saying it. Some like lowly CO or something like that. Dude, not what I think, but somebody who was a CO said, why don't you come do my job? And I'm like, no. No, but I understand and I
take
recognize.
Take Andrew with work day.
Hey, that's... I've been in the jail. I've seen what you do. I don't have any interest in it. It is a very, very, very undervalued and difficult job, and I will advocate for you for pay raises anytime you ask me to do it because it's a difficult thing. And I've always said the challenge with working in the jail is we don't take care of the back end of law enforcement nearly the way we take care of the front end, unfortunately. 8:29 on News Radio. So I apologize. I want to apologize for communicating that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, gentlemen. The family of Nancy Guthrie now offering a $1 million reward as the search continues for her in Southern Arizona. Savannah Guthrie posted a video on social media and said, somebody out there knows how to find her mother. This comes after multiple reports said that the person who is believed to have abducted Nancy Guthrie appeared to visit her house a day before her disappearance. And the gold medal winning men's U.S. hockey team will be at President Trump's State of the Union address tonight. The team arrived back in the U.S. yesterday after defeating Canada to win the gold.
Meanwhile, the women are not going, either because of scheduling or because Trump offended them by saying that he'd get impeached if he didn't also invite the women to the men's team. But Flavor Flav from Public Enemy has offered to entertain them in Las Vegas instead. We'll see if that turns out.
I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump promises to deliver a long State of the Union speech tonight, says he's got a lot to say. White House Press Secretary Caroline Levitt tells Fox.
He'll be sharing these stories, again, of everyday Americans who are directly benefiting from his policies and making a few new policy announcements as well to continue tackling the affordability crisis that Joe Biden created 1 year ago.
At least three dozen Democrats plan to boycott, but U.S. Olympic heroes from the men's gold winning hockey team will be there. The Guthrie family announces a $1 million reward for the return of their mother, Nancy, missing from her Tucson home nearly a month, atop the FBI $200K reward. The blizzard of 26 snow trophy goes to Providence, Rhode Island. All-time record 37.9 inches. 350,000 customers still without power, most in Massachusetts. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. It is 35 degrees right now. We've got some sunshine and a bit of a chilly morning, but looking like a nice morning here. The Sun Belt Conference Basketball Championships are back in Pensacola next week. Full slate of games and fan events are scheduled. The men's and women's tournaments will start March 3rd and run through the 9th at the Bay Center, featuring 28 teams competing for automatic bids to March Madness. The organizers are offering several different promotions as well, including free admission for youth on March 4th, education night discounts, military appreciation, ticket specials, and championship games on March 9th will air nationally on ESPN television. Construction continues on the new Palafox project in downtown Pensacola. Week 8 now. Crews are working to upgrade stormwater systems and refresh the street. Archaeologists, though, also keeping an eye on what's underneath the surface. City leaders say council policy requires consideration of potential archaeological impact. A team from the University of West Florida is monitoring the digging and searching for any intact historical deposits tied to the colonial past of Pensacola, including any trash pits, structural remains, or other buried features. And officials say that safeguard is already proving worthwhile. The city is expanding a program that helps military members transition over to civilian careers. The SkillBridge program places service members into workplaces during their final few months in the military. Previously, the partnership was limited to just the Pensacola Police Department. Now, it also includes some positions at the airport and is looking to expand into other city departments as well. Officials say it lets the city tap into an incredible talent pool and also helps veterans continue their public service. The Florida legislative session set to adjourn March 13th, but both chambers so far still a little far apart on key issues like eliminating property taxes in the budget. House Democrat leader Fentrese Driscoll says so far only 8 bills out of the 1,000 proposed have made it through both chambers.
Typically, we would say from our perspective that less bills usually means the Republicans are causing less harm. But this year, I'm worried about it because it means that there's not enough attention being paid to the affordability crisis.
And lawmakers are considering a range of issues like vaccine mandates, specialty license plates, and abortion rights. Both chambers and the governor also still have not come together on a budget as of yet. Big event taking place today at the airport. News Radio's Chris Bryan with this story. This experience is designed to help kids with developmental disabilities.
Pensacola International is teaming up with Delta Airlines and Arc Gateway today to host a Wings for All event. This is a hands-on mock flight experience designed to help children with developmental disabilities become more comfortable with air travel. The program walks families through each step of the airport journey. Since its launch, Wings for All has helped thousands of participants nationwide prepare for real-world flights. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. And right now, we've got sunshine, 35 degrees. Let's check in with John Pickens and get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. Still dealing with the accident that happened in Mobile Highway in North Green Street. That's causing delays in both directions on Mobile Highway. But other than that, I-10, I-110, everything's back to flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
We're going to be looking at a sunny day today with some cooler temperatures. Highs topping out near 55 degrees this afternoon with mostly sunny skies. Tonight, temperatures a little bit more mild, around 46 degrees. For Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 71 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Heading into Thursday, 50% chance of rain, high near 72. And Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, again, 35. We've got sunshine. And your money now this hour, taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell. They are mixed. The Dow is up about 0.2% at 48,898 and 3/4. The S&P is down about 16 points right now at 68,21.75. The NASDAQ is down 0.25%, 22,569.25. 10-year bond rate up very slightly at 4.02%. Gold is down $90 at 51.36. Even silver down 27 cents at 86.30. And Bitcoin is right now down just under 2% at 62,962.29. Warner Brothers Discovery says it will weigh Paramount's latest takeover offer. This comes just a week after Warner Brothers said it would re-engage talks with Paramount. Warner Brothers currently has a deal in place with Netflix for its studio and streaming businesses. In a statement, the company said that merger remains in effect, but it will review Paramount's bid with its financial and legal advisors. Paramount wants to buy Warner Brothers Discovery in its entirety. FedEx is suing the Trump administration for tariff refunds.
The shipping giant filed the suit Monday, just days after the Supreme Court struck down most of the president's sweeping tariffs. FedEx is asking for a full refund of all tariffs it paid the government. Last Friday, the High Court ruled that Trump had exceeded his presidential authority when he imposed the tariffs under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. Lawsuits filed by other companies before the Supreme Court's decision are still pending. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thank you very much, Tammy. And a top executive from YouTube took the stand yesterday in a landmark trial in Los Angeles involving social media addiction and children. YouTube VP Christos Goodrow essentially oversees the algorithms at the platform. He's tasked with keeping users engaged. The plaintiff in the case, a young woman, sued TikTok, YouTube, and Meta, which owns Instagram and Facebook, saying she became addicted to the social media sites as a kid and has experienced anxiety and depression as an adult as a result. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Managing your ECUA service is easier. The new MyECUA mobile app puts everything you need right at your fingertips. From paying your bill, submitting service requests, and reporting issues like missed collections, damaged or lost bins, water main breaks, and sewer overflows, it's all right there in one easy-to-use app. Take control of your services anytime, anywhere. So download MyECUA. It's available in the App Store and Google Play.
This Thursday at 9:30, the Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida. Executive Director Bruce Cady and partner agency Waterfront Mission will share information about the impactful work they perform every day while serving the homeless in our community. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Don't miss Pep Talk Thursday at 9:30 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by Tell Staffing and HR, empowering you to get back to business.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
How many books is it normal to own? That's the question of the day. 437-1620. How many books is it?
I mean, you're being serious? Yeah.
If you want to say how many books you own, that's fine. Yeah, probably.
Do comic books count?
No.
Okay, well, then never mind. I'm out.
No, I mean, that's like, well, because the count there would be completely different. Like, nobody owns 10 comics. You know, you own four long boxes. You know, 500 a piece, so 2,000.
Yeah, okay, all right.
How many comics do you own, John?
A few.
How many?
More than 10.
More than 1,000?
No.
So you don't really have a comic
collection.
Mama
threw away most of them, but...
You have, like, a box with a few comics
in it. But you asked about books.
I did. Okay, so how many books?
Comic books.
Well, I've got a lot of pamphlets. Do my pamphlets count?
Do they count too, Andrew?
I have 18,000 copies of the Constitution. Does that count? No. 437-1620. How many books is it fit for a human? No. How many do you own? And because I don't imagine there are very many people who think, you know what? I ought to have more books. You know, most people, I bet there are a lot of people like, man, I should get rid of some of my books. Because if you're the...
Now, here's my question.
Yeah.
Does electronic count?
Yeah.
Are you looking for a hardback, paperback?
I'm going to say no. Okay. You got to touch it. You got to... Yeah, it's got to have pages and a cover. And
I'm just trying to cover all the bases.
It's got to occupy a shelf. Okay. Yeah, I think it's a physical books is what I'm talking about. 437-1620. So I guess the main question is just how many you own. If you have, I mean, you have to estimate, obviously. I mean, somebody, I have 428. Okay. All right.
And they're all alphabetized.
Yeah.
In Quran.
By size and color.
I know. Dewey Decimal System.
So, how many books do you have? And do you feel like you have too many or too few? I guess if you kind of want to, that's where I'm at. I'm just curious about this. By the way, the answers you give will help me in all future arguments with my wife. So, I'm looking for good answers here.
Oh, now I see why this was brought up.
437-1620. 437-1620. All right, John. So comic books aside, of which right. you say you own about 50.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll go there.
Which is a very, very small number for comic book collection. I'll just, you know that though.
Well,
right?
They're very collectible ones.
Okay. So you bought investment books. They're not even comic books you read. They're just ones you hold on to. CGC yeah. rated?
Huh?
So not serious.
Oh, it's there's several that are rated.
CGC is like the, I know, I'm just, you know, the grading. You, oh, all right. Fair enough. So how about regular books?
Okay, let's
of any kind, textbooks, fiction, nonfiction.
Let's
cookbooks,
go like
books. I suppose you could include all books.
Oh well, if you want to include cookbooks, I don't,
are they not books?
Well, I mean, you just we're don't think of they comic
don't,
books.
You make
I mean,
them live in another room, right? You don't. They don't get to live in the library. They have to live in the kitchen. So you know, we right? do treat them as third class literature. It's like the kid table.
I know. Right? So
how many books? What do you got?
Okay, we're 12.
1,200?
No. 12.
Including cookbooks?
Yeah.
12 books?
Right. And they're mostly radio books.
Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12, like the electric company.
That I can find, yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 books in John's house.
Right.
Wow.
I get tired of moving them.
That's so many.
Everything has gone digital, my son. Everything.
All right. Go ahead. How many books do I have? I'll let you guess.
You have 398.
My wife would be thrilled if I had 398 books.
Excuse me?
I don't know how many books I have.
Well, can you give me a rough estimate? Let's just round up like they do in math.
Her bookcases, her homeschooling stuff, my stuff. I mean, it's probably in the 1,000 vicinity, I'm guessing.
So do I need to come
and
clean?
Is, and you? That is down probably 90% from when I was teaching.
Well, I get that.
I had somewhere in the 5,000 to 10,000 range when I was teaching. Just thinking about where my office was, what the shelves looked like, what the other shelves looked like, what the other shelves looked like, what the boxes looked like.
And you had to move all of those.
Oh, that's how I don't have them anymore.
Exactly.
Because you move them and then, well, you sell a bunch or give them away, and then you sell a bunch and you give away and you buy some more. And you sell a bunch and give away and you buy some more. And you sell them. Eventually, you get to where you only have 1,000.
My goodness.
And I feel a little bit ashamed about having such a small collection, quite frankly.
Small.
That's only, yeah, that's not that many.
Bro.
All right, John Pickens has traffic on the fives. How many books do you own? That's a question of the day. 437-1620, John.
We're going to have an intervention.
That's not counting comic okay. books. Comic books, I'm probably about 2,000.
Yeah.
But that's a totally different issue. Yeah, I probably got about 5 or 6 long boxes, 4 or 5, something like that.
Let me get through your collection.
No.
I want to add some to mine. Okay, anyway, traffic is brought to you by Culver's. Lent is here. Enjoy shrimp or fish dinners or sandwiches. Cordova Mall, Mobile Highway, Milton, and coming soon to Pine Forest. That's Culver's Welcome to Delicious. Still dealing with that one accident that happened on Mobile Highway, North Green Street. Seeing some minor delays on Mobile Highway. And let's see here. That is all there. I-10, I-110, everything else is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
12?
Yeah.
12?
I got rid of a lot of mine after school.
But 12?
That's why I said.
I have 12 books I use as book stops, as door stops. I mean.
That's why I asked the digital ones count. Because I have them all on my phone. Like,
how many? How many books you got on your phone?
Like maybe 75.
Books on your phone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, if you
have
a kid. That's
why I asked you if it counted.
If you've got a kid who's struggling with math, or maybe you just wish they love math more, or maybe you remember liking math, maybe you remember hating math, I don't know. But you've got a kid who would like to be better at math grades, and you know this never gets better. Like if you're behind in a grade, like 8th grade, it's not like it gets easier in the 9th grade than easier in the 10th grade. The behind compounds, right? That's part of the problem. Okay, go to Mathnasium. Talk to the folks at Mathnasium. Do a free assessment. By the way, the assessment is completely free. Totally complimentary. Find out where your kid's at. Find out what they know, what they don't know, what they know okay, what they could know better. And then they'll figure out a plan. And they take step-up money, okay? So there's money from the state available to help for this. But find out what's going on and then, you know, figure out a plan to solve it. Because, by the way, at Mathnasium, which is, you know, very good, personal, you know, very small, focused, intense tutoring, training, not just, like, do more problems, but figure out how to learn the skills and build up that repertoire of, you know, toolbox elements that makes you able to do math the way you should be able to do it. 94% of parents report an improvement in math skills and understanding. 90% see an improved grade. 93% say improved attitude. And, you know, a lot of times what happens is parents feel like, I knew how to do math back then. I don't know that I'm as good at it as anymore. But also, I don't teach it the way you taught it. Sometimes it's just a matter of how the thing gets taught. Anyways, Donna and Dana at Mathnasium, they're just fantastic. My son taught at Mathnasium for a year. We are big, big believers. Located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th and Airport. All right, question of the day. How many books do you own? Do you think it's too many, too few? What's normal? John has 12. I have 1,000. He says he has 75 on his phone, but I can't mark those pages, dog-ear them, write on them.
Well, you can do notes.
That's so annoying. I'm a firm no on books are supposed to be in print. That's another conversation for another
yes.
day. Let's see. Somebody says, the Dan says, as many as you can fit under your mattress without your wife or mother finding them. That's magazines do not count. Probably not books. Somebody says, I probably have about 20 at the house. They do a pretty good job of giving them away after I read them. I don't even understand those words. I mean, I grasp that
we can
English.
Tell you don't understand
no,
it.
No, give a book away. No, you keep it for future reference. I grew up with a father who could make a bookshelf, and we had at least 500 books displayed. But since I have my own place with my own bookshelves, and by the way, I definitely, when I got married, I had cinder blocks and particle board and possibly not purchased milk crates and particle board shelves.
I mean, who didn't? Who didn't at that time?
Possibly.
Possibly.
100%. I did give them back eventually, though, to somebody.
That's so sweet.
Anyway, since I have my own place, it probably has diminished this time between 200 and 400, but mostly, I don't know, power books. What does that mean? Movie books and books about sheet music or music history. Somebody says, Don says about 2,000. I've reduced my total greatly. My man. That's exactly it. And I do have the conversation in my own head about, well, how many of these am I going to read before I die? You know, that I haven't read. And, of course, there's books I haven't read. My dad has a great line. He's a bigger library than mine even. He says, I got about 1,500, and some of them I've even read twice to deflect from the fact that, you know, some of them, yes, not read at all. There's great joy in owning a book you haven't read and great pain also. Let's see. And sometimes you buy a book you already own. That's if you've never bought a book you already own by mistake, you don't own enough books. Anyway,
but if they were digital, you could
shut up with the digital. Nobody likes that. Then somebody says easily over 500 books in our house. Somebody says never enough. Somebody says do coloring books and word puzzle books count?
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
I'll say sure. Magazines, no. Coloring books, yes. At least 500, maybe closer to 1,000. My husband said there's no such thing as too many books. I'm not sure I concur. I have the Sink of the Bismarck and maybe 100 others. Somebody says, no greater joy than owning a book, enjoying it, and then giving it to someone else and finding out they enjoyed it as much as you did. Yeah, no, that's true, except for the reverse, which is that you can't give books to book lovers because they've already got them and it's a burden to give it to them. Like, I don't want somebody to give me a book ever for any reason.
Oh, I'm going to give you a book, all right.
I'll throw it away. I throw away books people give
That's
me.
Really rude no, because I would have put thought into this.
It takes up space in my already burgeoning, blowing up bookshelf. And
well, just add
I'm
another
not gonna,
one.
No. Oh, you talk to my wife, see if that's going to fly. So I have the luxury of I grew up in a library because the library's in my house. My dad was a pastor. My mom was a big believer in books. So we had all kinds of books and, like, you know, Edgar Rice Burroughs, my stepdad had all the Edgar Rice Burroughs Tarzan books and, you know, all kinds of Isaac Asimov and science fiction, Mark Twain collection. And I'm telling you this because there is one key thing that all of the research indicates is if you want a kid to be a reader, have books. Now, you might have books and they might not turn out to be a reader. There's a logical formula there that, you know, if this, then that is not the same as if not that, then this. But the point is, if you want to give your kids the best chance to like to read and to be readers, you got to have books around. It's a thing inside the home. That's why, by the way, like the, you know, having books in homes is such a big value. Not having books in homes is such a big detriment. And that's why we do like even the little libraries, the little London, is it, that's helpful. That's a start, something. So if you want them to be weird like Andrew
no
and
comment.
Grow up loving to read, surround them by books. It will definitely affect them in a positive way.
The owners of Costello's Butcher Shop, Deli, Fine Wines, and Cheeses. On March 15th, 2020, at the start of the COVID pandemic, Christy Costello woke in the middle of the night by a vision she was given from God.
I felt I was being called to feed the children that were missing out on meals because the schools had been closed, Jesus told me.
And then it all began.
That next morning, I started our free lunch program, feeding every child a free sack lunch that came through our doors.
At first, there were a few. Then every day, more and more came.
The need in our community was huge. The demand kept growing, and I refused to turn away from feeding these children.
Fast forward.
I created a foundation in honor of my mother, Kimberly Tower. To date, we have provided over 500,000 free meals. We've made tangible strides, but our mission is calling for even more, and we really need your help. We need donations, we need volunteers, and most of all, we need your prayers.
To find out more on how you can help, visit the Kimberly Tower Foundation website at ktfforlove.org or drop by and meet Christy at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli on the corner of Lillian and Fairfield Drive.
Selling a home is personal, and it can feel overwhelming before you even know where to start. A lot of homeowners are told that if they question the cost of selling, it means they are cutting corners or taking risks. That simply isn't true. Wanting clarity and fairness doesn't make you cheap, it makes you thoughtful. I'm Miriam Rogers with Poppy Properties. I offer a full service listing for only 1%, saving you thousands. And my easy exit agreement means you're never locked into a relationship that isn't working. You still get professional marketing, photography, negotiation, and guidance from contract to closing. What you get less of is pressure. What you keep more of is your equity. This isn't about doing less. It's about doing what's right for you, your situation, and your future. If you're thinking about selling and want to start with information instead of obligation and learn more about my 1% listing model, visit my website at forsalebymiriam.com. That's forsalebymiriam.com.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
It's over.
No one has ever dumped me.
I'm not trying to make history here.
I did the 23-hour nose route to the top of El Capitan in 18 hours and 23 minutes. I can make this work.
We have a country that's now doing well. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. We have the most activity we've ever had. I'm making a speech tomorrow night, and you'll be hearing me say that. I mean, it's going to be a long speech because we have so much to talk about.
Are you threatening me?
That was good.
Are you threatening me?
He's threatening me with an overly long State of the Union speech tonight. Good Lord. It starts at 8, which means 8:15 at best. He said it's going to be long, hour and 40 minutes last year, record breaking. If it's a long by his standards, 2 hours, you know, we're done at 10:40. Then the Democrats have their 8 minutes of joy. So I'm going to start cutting audio from this thing. Plus, I got to go to the Pace Awards tonight. So I'm going to be up till midnight just cutting audio from this speech, I fear. I did briefly consider just not doing it. It's not going to cover it tomorrow. I'm just going to pretend like it didn't happen.
Well, I'll be asleep, so
biggest
I
news
need
in the,
for
biggest
you to
news
cover
in the country.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll do it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Whatever.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I don't know what else to say. Did we do traffic? Did I skip traffic?
Not yet. Yeah,
right,
you
come
have.
On, John.
But no accidents or delays to report to you. We're all good. I'm John Pickens, traffic on the fives.
All good, except my dread for this thing tonight. Mm-hmm. What's that?
All the books.
Oh, that's fine. The books don't bother me. If you have any kind of work needs to be done in your home, air conditioning, heating, electrical, plumbing, complicated stuff, generator, because that's electrical, if you want it installed or maintained or replaced or whatever, hey, call Peden. They take care of this stuff, 100% satisfaction guarantee. Good quality products and parts and people, and 100, they take care of you on the back end too in case. But Robert Peden started with air conditioning, just like, let's make Florida cooler. And then eventually, let's make Florida hotter. God, why? but in the winter, electrical and plumbing, and then east to Tallahassee from Panama City, west to Pensacola for a long time in Ellison Field, and then, Baldwin County, and then all the way over to Mobile the last couple of years. So they're all over, all along the Gulf Coast, two time zones, two states. now beat the annual price regulatory price increase. You know, every time they change the rules, they got to change the product. So Peden's new year old stock sale, take up to $1,500 off remaining 2025 air conditioning systems before they're gone. Call or book online at Peden, PEADEN.com. All right, what do we have left that we need to talk about today that we haven't gotten to? Oh, this is a good. Oh, no. Now I'm torn.
Well, don't waste time. Go.
Chicago had a name our snowplow contest.
Really?
Just like how we named our street sweepers in Pensacola. Yeah. They did a name the snowplow contest. So the ones that were like included in the list but were low on, you know, there was the Blizzard of Oz, Svengoolie, like Svengoolie. There was one for Stephen Colbert, you know, for the talk show host. Pope Frio the 14th, like Pope Leo, and Frio is rhymes with the Spanish for cold. There were other states had ones, I guess in Minnesota, if Taylor Swift is from there, Taylor Drift. Nashville has one, Dolly Plowton. Instead of Dolly Parton. the overwhelming popular name, the number one most desired name for the Chicago snowplow was Abolish Ice.
Oh.
See, because,
yes,
you know, it's...
I do know.
It's kind of a twofer. And look, as a person, even as a conservative, you know, I thought that was pretty clever. What? It's just about, you know, in the winter in Chicago, you get lots of snow and ice on, and we want to abolish it. That's all that is. See you tomorrow on No Sleep.